people will tell you after being with Ruth for over 10 years, it's actually 14 years, okay? Most of the time when she says something, she's pretty careful. And I have to listen carefully. So we're here to really be the body of Christ for each other. Encourage each other, whatever things are good. So I think we can be discipled by Jesus. Here he is. His Spirit's in us. We have his objective truth. And we have each other to help. So Jesus, we really welcome you here. We really welcome you. We honor you. We thank you for your presence. I trust you to help these who've made the effort. I trust you to disciple them this morning. We're your disciples if we spend time with you, if we hang out with you. That's how Peter, James, and John were discipled by you. And here we are to meet with you. And so, you are the leader. I'll try to stay out of the way. We want you to coach us, to guide us, to speak. Thank you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, it's really called honoring the presence of Jesus. I think Peter, James, and John got to watch Jesus, didn't they? They watched him. You could help me watch him if you told me something about him. You all could probably tell me something about your mother. How are you doing this morning? Any news?
None so far.
Yeah, okay. But you could all tell me, probably, about your mother. Mm-hmm. Because you know her. Mm-hmm. Right? Well, we want to know Christ. And you probably know something about Jesus. And if you tell me something and it's true, you can paint a picture in my mind. You can help me know him. And so it's good for us. I can't think of anything more, anyone more important for us to talk about than Jesus. Can you? I mean, we could talk about football games. That'd be important. Or cars. Or gardens. I'm amazed at the things we talk about in the church. but here we are. Let's talk about Jesus for a little bit. You know, he did say to his disciples, he looked at him and he said, "So who do you say that I am?" Everybody else is saying, "Do you know me?" Jesus said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" Let's think Jesus might have asked that question. And let's tell each other just a little bit about maybe something very special about Jesus that you're sure about him. So let's talk about Jesus. And we'll do some other things, but right now, let's start here. Tell me something about Jesus. Tell each other something about Jesus. It didn't have to be the greatest thing. We'll just
He loves us more than anyone will ever love us.
Thank you. Let's unpack that a little bit. What does that look like in living now? He loves. How does that spell out? Or how do you know that? Let's just unpack that. Let's stay with this for a second. I usually, a lot of times when I do this, everybody has a little different idea, and we just talk about it superficially, but I say, let's just stay with one idea for a few minutes. And that's the biggest one.
Mm-hmm. I guess, since he loves us so much, he wants what's best for us, and so he has a good plan for us, and we can always, trust that what he says is the best for us.
Fabulous.
Hi. I don't often hear people say that that's his way he loves us. That he wants what's best for us. I usually hear, he wants what I like. He wants what's best. Love equals wanting what's best. So Jesus, right now, you're thinking, you're listening, you want what's best for us. And that's because you love us. What does that look like? How does he do it? Good job, thank you. I hear my wife kind of went off last night.
It was so good. It was so good.
Is it? She's a fireball, isn't she? Mm-hmm. She'd be here this morning.
She's very excited.
Were you in the meeting?
Oh, no, no. But I just spoke to her briefly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she was up a lot last night, so she didn't come this morning. Mm-hmm. Jesus wants what's best for us because he loves us. What does that look like?
Oh, I like to go way back to the beginning where he created us because he wanted a family. And then he, because he so loved us, he gave up his properties as God and came to be one of us. It just blows my mind.
Wow.
Same thing else.
Great.
With any added to that, or is that
Ruth, I was thinking the same thing. Is it, God didn't think it, like it says, what is it, Peter, I think, God didn't think it robbery to lower himself to, our level and come down to earth. I mean, to put aside his principality.
That's pretty amazing. Well, tell you what, I would love to talk about this the whole time. And it's good. If we didn't talk about anything except Jesus, would that be a good meeting? How about, let's just take what's been said. Instead of talking about him, let's pretend that he's here. Or, I was kind of joking. If someone's here, it's not nice to talk about him. It's better to talk to them. Since Jesus is here, Lord, you are here. We want to talk to you from our core, honestly. We want to stare at you right now. Because you are here, you're not physically here, except through each other, but you are here. We want to talk to you about the fact that you are love. And because you are love, you do what is best for us, including you made us for relationship with you in the beginning, and then you emptied yourself of your... One translation said, your prerogatives as God. You emptied yourself. You didn't quit being God, but you just emptied yourself of all of your abilities as God, temporarily, maybe even something eternally, we don't know. But you came. We want to talk to you about that. We want to see you. We want to tell you what we think and what we know about you and what we think about what we know. We just want to talk to you about you for a little bit here. We won't talk to you about ourselves now, except maybe how we think and feel about you.
Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for coming to earth and being born in the most vulnerable of circumstances to a young mother, very young mother, and in very poor circumstances. And it wouldn't have made too much difference if you had been born into a palace, because still you would have given up everything to come to this earth. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your great love. We give you praise and honor because of what you have done.
Thank you for coming to look for us when we, like sheep, went astray. So we didn't know you, and actually tried to spend life away from you. You have come and searched for us, and you knock at our doors until we could see you and open that door and to let you come in, and you help us to reorient our life. Lord, again, we thank you this morning that you, through Pastor Hal, to give us new insights on how to connect with you. Lord, we just pray that, ask that you help us through this journey, that in the past we may pray as you're up there somewhere listening. Now we pray as we talk to you face to face.
Thank you. Thank you. So let me kind of point us again. Picture Jesus sitting right here, whatever, or imagine his presence. Imagine him looking you in the eye and saying, "Who do you say that I am? Who am I?" Just a few more minutes to talk to him about who he is.
Thank you, Lord, that you said that we are your friends. We are obedient to you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I thank you that you consider us your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Lord, that you are the Savior, and that you came to rescue us when we were all lost in our sins.
Jesus, you're the creator of the heavens and the earth, but you're also our Father, and you care for us, and you nurture us, and you comfort us, and you're always with us.
Jesus, I never want to get away from the reality that you are a very real person. You have thoughts, you have emotions, you're listening. In a sense, I do pray without ceasing because you are always listening to me, whether I'm addressing you or not. I want to address you nonstop. I don't. I forget about you. I hate that, and I'm sorry, but I'm very, very stunned that right now, as you monitor 7 billion minds on this planet, you are infinitely aware, perfectly aware, of every thought, of emotion, the cause of each one of those in me. And right now, you are listening and probably willing and ready to respond. You will, probably by your Spirit's presence, will speak to us. So thank you for your presence here. We intend to listen, not just for you, but literally to you. And I thank you. We honor you. You deserve far more praise and glory than we can't even imagine. Our words are so small, so trite. But at least we know that we don't know. But thank you for your stunning presence even here. Thank you. I do honor you that out of your love, you do. Not only do you want what is best, you know right now what is best for each one of us. And I think that you'll be saying it to us, because you promised to guide us and to lead us. So I think you'll show us what's best. I want to be sincere. Thank you. Amen. I think that Jesus is thinking, probably the best thing is that you're sitting at my feet. Do you know what he said, literally, one translation? To a little lady named Martha who was making pizza? He said, Mary has chosen what's best. Mm-hmm. So here we are. Maybe we've even figured out what's best for right now. So way to go. Are you a university student?
Yes.
Where do you go to school?
University of Washington.
Well, there's a bunch of you here.
I mean, that's like one of the few colleges that hasn't started yet, and so that's why we're able to come.
Ah, okay. Well, I was impressed with all those guys last night. My, thanks for coming. Okay. What time would it be? 3:15 to 8? I'm sorry.
7:45.
I think I have to go about 7:40.
Okay.
To get the kids up.
Okay. you get them up, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, 7:45. Okay. Let's real quickly. I wish we had an hour for this, but Jesus asked another question. First, he said, "Who do you say that I am?" I like to try to answer that question. And then one day he washed everybody's feet. Remember that? And then he looked at those guys. And after he washed their feet, he didn't say, "Do you know what I've done for you?" He could have said that. Mm-hmm. But he said, "Do you understand what I've done for you?" He washed their feet. And he said, Do you guys know why I did this? And of course, the answer, we could talk about that a long time. But the facts are that he washed our feet all day yesterday. Did you know that? He did good stuff for you. He served you all day yesterday. Right? I mean, did anything good happen in your life yesterday? It was anything good? Well, where does every good thing come from? So, all day long, Jesus was serving, was washing your feet. Well, you know what I mean. He was serving you all day. And actually, when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, then he really washed their minds when he asked them that question. Do you get it? And he gave them a new idea that he, the King of Kings, the Messiah, washes feet. And they said, "Messiahs don't do that." And he said, "Oh, yeah. In my kingdom, we do." See, and so he washed their feet, then he washed their mind, and then he washed their mind even more. He said, "I did this so that what I've done for you, I want you to do for others." Well, they didn't think that, because they were thinking, "We're close to the big king, so we're cool." Because I mean, if kings don't wash feet, then we don't have to wash feet. Remember, I mean, ask and. But then he said, "No. In my kingdom, in my family, this is what I do, and that's what we do. So I want you to wash feet. And then after you've washed feet, you can wash minds." We usually try to wash minds before we wash feet. In our evangelism, think how we try to get people to think right before we've loved them as Jesus loves us. So, let's take a second to think about some good things that happened yesterday. If you can look at the good that happened yesterday, you can see what God did. Because God was busy all day. And the way to see what God did is to look at the good. Typically, we talk about what's bad or what's hard. But if you want to talk about what God did, we can see what God did. People say, "Well, God doesn't do anything for me." I said, "Oh my goodness! Every minute, can you breathe? Where did that come? Is that good that you can breathe? Oh yeah. Well, where did it come from? Can you see? Is that good? Is it better than not seeing?" Oh yeah, a lot better. So, and then of course those are just temporary things. The eternal things that Jesus did in us. And in fact, I don't know, did any of you do anything good yesterday? Did anybody do one good thing yesterday? I hope you did. If you did, where did it come from? Where does every good thing come from? So if we're able to do any good thing, God doesn't force it, but He initiates it, and without Him we could do nothing. So if we even did something good yesterday, He did. So that's a long sermon, I'm sorry. Let's talk for a second about some good things that happened yesterday. Real quick, what good thing did maybe the Lord do for you or in you? Did He do anything in you yesterday? Or did He get anything done through you? Did you say any things that were Spirit-initiated? Or did you do anything that was because of Jesus? Incidentally, it's okay to talk about that.
Yeah.
Apostle Paul said many times, I'll only talk about the things that God has accomplished through me.
Obviously, the session last night was very... For me, it's discipling for myself, because it really helped me see how to, working with the younger people, how to bring it to the perspective that it would stay in their mind.
Do you mean upstairs with the boys upstairs or down here?
Down here and upstairs too.
No, I didn't know which
one. Both of them. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. So that was good.
Yeah.
And so thank you, Lord. Yeah. We want to give thanks. I'm committed. Don't do it. I'm committed giving thanks in everything. Mm-hmm. All day long. But if you want to, the way to do that is to see what God's doing. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bless you.
And the worship. Singing praise, it really started off the meeting very well.
Mm.
I'm very thankful.
Yes. I'll embarrass you. I love your humility, and I see Jesus coming through you when you're trying to transpose something, and she hits a different key, slightly. And people notice it, and she smiles. So instead, she smiles and humbly, warmly responds. I noticed it. I think that's probably from the Lord. Mm-hmm. I think that spirit is the spirit of Jesus. So I thank the Lord for being, I thank you, Lord, for being able to see you through others. And I could talk about a couple others at your table, I won't do that. But when we see good in others, we can give thanks. In fact, we're called to. How much are we called to encourage one another? Does anybody know? How often?
Daily.
Hmm. That was before Facebook. Good. Thank you. Anything else good? Let me push a little bit. Did you see someone? Did you see good in someone else yesterday? That's how we encourage others. We, instead of looking at what's bad, we look at what's good. Mm-hmm. Whatever things are good, whatever things are lovely, think about those things, and then you can have a basis for Thanksgiving. Did anybody see something good?
Yeah, I mean, it's really silly, but like our bathroom and our cabin was really messy last night. There was like, there's so much water on the ground, and like Nick really cleaned it up, and it was really nice.
Someone cleaned up the bathroom.
She helped. It was really gross.
That's better than washing feet, or worse. I mean,
yeah.
Thank you. Do you know what I like to? And I won't take time to talk, but I love to just talk about the. Jesus is like a quarterback. He throws the ball all the time. He's throwing the ball to us. If someone sees it and actually catches it and runs with it, the team wins. If Jesus throws the ball and we don't see it or see it but miss it, the team has to punt pretty soon. So, sorry, football. You guys get football. Anyhow, do you think the Holy Spirit... What's your name?
Me.
Ming. 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 Okay. So we got we... And me? The way. That's right. The way. All right. Okay. So, do you think the Holy Spirit maybe was that good? Okay, maybe the Holy Spirit initiated that. Maybe not even last night, but maybe long ago, He built into you a servant heart. See, and out of it we see that. So you know what we do typically when we're in churches and we have time, we say way to go, and we there we go. and we because we're like Jesus, went around doing good. We're like Jesus. We're to be good for something. We're to all day long be going around doing good. That's who we are. See, so way to go. Thank you for sharing that. Way to go.
So funny.
All right. Well, one more. Something good. Did you get something done through you yesterday? If we were meeting every day, we would, at the end of the meeting, we'd talk about what we think the Lord wants us to do that day. We'd take time to, just like Jesus talked to His disciples, and then He sent them out. Remember? He gave them specific things to do, and then they came back in. You know what they did? They reported everything that they had done. Well, this is a good time to report. And we're not reporting about ourselves, reporting about Jesus, but He does have a body, and He, and so we're reporting what He got done through us. Anybody? Did Jesus get anything done through you yesterday?
Well, Jesus brought you guys here and brought us all here together.
Okay. I wish I had said it better last night. I wasn't thinking, but we almost weren't here. I mean, Friday night, there was no way we were going to be here. And I was dreading this phone call. We're in San Francisco and we can't get out. But I'm thankful that the Lord enabled us to persevere when we told we couldn't, that actually the person we were staying with in San Francisco got online and just pushed and pushed and pushed and found two tickets where they said there were none. That they told us there are no ways to get out of here. Every flight is full. You can't do it because they had delays all day. And this person just kept pushing. Maybe she was tired of us being there. So yes, thank you, Ruth. The Lord, I thank you. I'm very grateful to be here. I'm glad it didn't get messed up. Thank you, Jesus. We truly want to thank you that your Spirit is at work in us to help us to clean bathrooms and to make it possible for us to get where we need to be. To make it possible for us to remember things we have to remember. We have no idea how many times you literally intervene for us, even in just making our brains continue to work. But specifically, we could go on and on thanking you for the good things. Thank you that we had good food yesterday. Seriously, we had food. People around the world, many of them, we had more food yesterday than they have in a week or a month. And I don't know what to do about that other than try to live every moment in gratitude, in serving every way we can. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for doing what was best for us yesterday. And you'll do that today, too. Thank you. We praise you. And we could do this all morning. We could go around the circle. And we said, we don't have enough time. But it's good. Okay. Since this is the only time we're meeting, we better hurry on, all right? Usually in a group like Ruth has been with me, and we've studied through I don't know how many books of the Bible. We use this as our curriculum, we not only to hear the Lord speak, but to show people how to listen so they can on their own, and then they can help others. So we want every parent to do this with their kids. We want to start little churches everywhere. So because everything I've done, everybody else could do today. I haven't done anything today except kind of, I've asked this, who do you say that I am? Jesus asked that question. Jesus said, do you understand what I've done for you? And so we talked about what He did and why. So we could all learn how to do that. Why don't we, for fun, let's do, let's just do what we did. Well, most of you were in the meeting yesterday. Let's do this 1 John 2. I only picked that because I talked about that last night. And we'll, in fact, I'm just going to arbitrarily take 1 John 2:15. I always like to start at the beginning of a book. Just go through it slowly, slowly. But I'll just arbitrarily pick 1 John 2:15. We try to go very slowly, making sure that we know what the words mean, the phrases mean. But having studied, that's not the end. If you study John 5, you'd see that Jesus just clobbered the Pharisees because they studied the Bible but did not know Jesus. Okay? So we're studying this in order to listen to Jesus talk to us. We want to know Him. So we'll try to study it carefully, but then we'll hear Him speak to us. The way we study it carefully is just by going over each word. So it's out of context, I don't, you know, but we'll just start on verse chapter 2, verse 15. We'll just start there. Do not love the world or anything in the world. Wow. Okay. So what does it mean to love the world? What would be an example of loving the world?
Condoning it.
Condoning it. Allowing it.
Not feeling comfortable in the world. Or feeling comfortable in the world.
Oh.
Feeling like that's where you belong.
That's where I belong. That's a good word. Because we don't belong there, do we, anymore? We're in it, but not of it. Okay. Well, what would it look like to love the world? Be comfortable there? Are you comfortable with people leaving God out? Are you comfortable when you're with people who don't care about the Lord? Legitimately, we shouldn't be. Because we've changed. We have a different king. They don't have the king that we've got. So we legitimately should be uncomfortable in that environment. Can't leave it.
Yeah, it's frustrating when you're with like coworkers and all they want to do is talk about, you know, bad things and, you know, make dirty jokes.
Yes.
And then when you don't respond, it really annoys me. I don't know about you guys, but when they're like, "Well, what's wrong with you, Jose?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't, you know, you're not funny or whatever." You know? And then you're like, "Well, you know what? That's just not funny to me."
Yeah. You know? And we have to almost get practice at how to handle that, how to demonstrate love for them without loving what they do.
Yeah,
that's tricky. And that's stuff we talk about. If we have time, we'll talk about that very issue. Thank you. It's a big deal. In fact, it's even hard in the church a lot of times. Because in the church, we've drug worldliness into the church, but we haven't discipled the church to be focused on Jesus. We still are even like that in the church sometimes. Now, hopefully your churches are better. I don't know your church. So, okay, do not love the world. Is that an example? Is that a promise? Is that a commandment? It's a commandment. Okay. So over here in 1 John 2 that I didn't even do last night, but we know that we've come to know Him if we obey His commands. 1 John 2:3. That's one of the ways we come to know that we know Him if we obey. So here's a commandment. Do not love the world or anything in the world. Wow. That would be a good discussion, wouldn't it? Give me a couple examples of what it looks like. Don't be comfortable with what they're comfortable with. If you're comfortable, it's almost dangerous. What else? What does it look like to love the world?
Not
or the things of the world. What does the world love?
Money.
Money. In the last days, men will be lovers of money. Okay. So do not love money. What do you think about that? Is that a commandment? Is that fair? Is that a fair application? Do not love money. How do you know if you're loving money?
If you let it control your life.
That's two times in one day. Whatever rules you is what?
Your God.
Your God. Is money bad?
Yes.
Better to have some than not have any, probably. Because you can do things with... So money in itself isn't bad. What is bad about money? When it governs us. So that's why we have to be really honest. Why am I doing this? For you, Jesus, or for money? Does that make sense? Why am I showing off? For you, Jesus, or for money? You know? Or for applause? We could go on and on. Lovers. The world loves stuff. They love things. They love pleasure. When do we love... When is it worldly to love pleasure? Same answer. When it controls. You guys are impressive. Okay. Tell you what let's do, just because of time. We don't want to just talk about this. We're here not to study the Bible. We're here to listen to Jesus, right? Is Jesus? Can someone imagine Jesus sitting here and have him say this to us? If we had more time, we could unflesh it more. But don't change it. You can apply it a little bit. Let me show you. I'll show you what I mean. We don't have time. But Jesus sitting here would probably say to me, Hal, do not value the things that the world values in such a way that those things control you. I am your God. I am your King. Let what I value control you. Love me. Let me govern, not pleasure. Don't chase pleasure. Not money. Don't chase money. Chase me. And I'll give you pleasure, I'll give you money as you need, but you chase me. Seek first my kingdom, my righteousness, and I'll take care of all these things. So I added quite a bit to it there, didn't I? I added a lot. But that's just what I was imagining Jesus saying. I kind of got the idea. I don't think I said anything wrong. Do you think Jesus might say that to me? To be real precise, Jesus says to me unquestionably, Hal, do not love the world or anything in it. And I might say, well, Jesus, could you help me think about what that means? And he might say, well, if you are seeking money instead of me, that's what the world does. And I might say, oh, thank you. Got it. And he and I might be writing this down or putting it in my computer. So, just simple. Just let Jesus talk to us through Scripture. And then talk back. And that's one of the ways he disciples us. Does that make sense? And then we could pray. I mean, we could respond, okay, Jesus, I don't want to let anything govern me except you. And I pray that for Debbie, and I pray that for Dave and Renata, and Matt and Dana, and Murray and Deborah, and Dan and Amy, and their kids. I mean, I could pray, Lord, do not let the love of the world that's in the world be in them. And I know it's God's will. I'd be praying according to God's will. So I can just spend a lot of time on one verse. Okay. So just kind of see what we're doing? And poor Ruth went through Hebrews and Revelation, and we did this with every verse, just straight through. But the point is, it's a relationship. Could anybody just talk to Jesus about what he might say to you through this before we go on? Anybody besides Ruth? I know she can do it. I mean, just talk to Jesus about what he said to you. Or maybe, yeah, let's talk to him about this verse.
Lord, I think I hear you say to me, Ruth, do not love your own preferences more than me, your own flesh, your own comforts, what you prefer. Mm-hmm. It goes far beyond money. Mm-hmm. Lord, thank you that you say not to love the world. And Lord, it is so my desire to put you first in my life and to love what you love and what you want me to love. Thank you, Lord, for this word that shows us how to do that. And I'm sorry I don't do it better, but I want to.
And Jesus, through Paul, you said, aim for perfection. And Ruth is aiming for perfection, and I think you say, perfect. Way to go. Well, thank you. You kind of get the idea. And again, if we had lots of time, we'd work on it more. Let's kind of push right on. I didn't even tell you that usually when we do the Bible study, we try to remember when Peter, James, and John went to the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus is glistening, and Elijah and Moses are there, and Peter wakes up, and he says, I'll build something for all three of you, and God, the Father, said, that's my boy, listen to him. Quit talking. Shut up. He didn't say that, but he kind of said it. And so we say that we're listening to Jesus through his word. So Peter denies Jesus after he promised. Peter promised Jesus, these other guys might leave you, but I won't. In fact, I'm ready to go to prison. I'm ready. I'm ready to go to prison with you. I'm ready to die for you. Peter said all that. Jesus said, well, actually, you're going to deny me. Peter said, oh, no, not me. I'll never do that. These other guys might, but not me. And then we know what happened. And maybe the very next time Peter and Jesus talked, we don't know for sure, but probably the only time we have record, I think, the next time they talked, they just had fish for breakfast that Jesus fixed. And then Jesus looks at Peter, remember? And he says, hey, Peter, do you truly love me? Peter just promised everything, and then Jesus looks at him and says, do you love me? And Peter says, well, Lord, not like I said back then, but I like you. I mean, I want to be with you. And Jesus said to him, remember what Jesus said to him? If you love me, feed my sheep, care for my lambs. Mm-hmm. And those are the kind of people. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to be a big shot. Jesus just wants to know, do you love me? If we love him, he says, well, will you take care of others for me? Give them what they feed them, care for them. It's kind of like wash their feet and wash their mind. So, I'm going to assume that you wouldn't be up in the middle of the night to meet with Jesus unless you loved him. A little or maybe a lot. Hopefully, with all your heart, though, that's a pretty big thing. That's pretty big. But if you love Jesus, even, I mean, I'm going to assume that, I'm not going to ask you the question, do you love me? That's a pretty tough question to answer. I've been asking people, right in front of everyone. I say, okay, let's answer Jesus' question. Do you truly love me more than these, which might be people or fish? You know, your job? Or do you love me more than these? Let me just ask you to respond. If Jesus says to you, feed my sheep, first of all, are there some sheep in your life that Jesus might want you to care for? Who are they? Well, let's just talk real quickly. Who are the primary sheep in your life? First would be family. First would be our families, wouldn't it? Jesus' family. Did Jesus have a family? Who did he say his brothers and sisters were? Those who do the will, obey my Father. He said, my brothers and sisters, those who obey my Father. So, could we have sheep beyond our blood family? Mm-hmm. Could you have 1,000 of them? You could, but it'd be kind of hard to work with them. How many did Jesus have? 12. I try to encourage people that their sheep are their family, brothers and sisters, parents, children, maybe 2 or 3 people in the church. That's quite a bit of work. To adopt 2 or 3 people, that's a big job. We had triplets. That was a big job. You know. Okay. And I try to help people to adopt 1 or 2 lost sheep. Do you know 1 or 2 lost people that are close to you? Like, how many, do all of you go to university?
She will be, and she's still in high school.
Mere child? Okay. But you probably know some people are pretty lost. Okay. Does Jesus want us to feed them? Probably after we wash their feet, after we care for them. So he said, care for them and feed them. We got 1 minute. Mm-hmm. Let's think about today. What does Jesus want you to do today? You are his disciple. He sends you out. Can anybody think of one specific thing that Jesus might want you to do today for someone? One of his sheep? Or does he just want you to be sensitive and responsive, which would be good? Or is there one specific thing he wants you to do for someone today? Because of time, let me just say, if we were meeting every day or once a week, what we'd work on is actually making appointments to be with lost people in order to love them or serve them or just serving them. We'd work on husbands figuring out ways to actually love their wives, parents actual ways to love their children, how to do what's best for them. And we talk about praying for them. We talk about how, if the parent was going to be with the child, we talk about what to do, when, what ways, what tone. And then after we talked about it together, we pray for each other. So, for example, if Ruth thought that the Lord wanted her to do something for her son, she's got 2 sons, and maybe she said she thought the Lord wanted her to someone helped her son named Jim. We'd say, well, how? And she'd say, well, I can do this. And we'd say, well, what do you think would be the best way to do that? And she'd, by the Spirit, try to figure out that. And if it all seemed good to us, we'd agree. So we help equip the saints for the work of the ministry. The real ministry is what we do with people. This building, that's a ministry, wasn't it? And a lot of work, a lot of money. But it doesn't last. The purpose of that is for this. But all week long, you're with people. You know, and that's our ministry. That's the feeding the sheep. So here we are. We talk about it, and we pray for each other. And for example, if Jimmy said, this week I think the Lord wants me to do this with maybe for his wife.
and I like that.
We work on that. We, Doug, And then we all agree that that seems like that's what the Lord wants, because the Spirit indwells all of us and we're to help each other. Then we pray for Jimmy. And then I would say, do you all think that's pretty close to what the Lord wants, Jimmy? Do you see anything problem with that? And we'd all say, well, it seems good. And we'd say, Jimmy, will you do your best? Yeah. Okay. Then I'd say to them, I'd say, will you tell us next week what the Lord got done through you? And he'd say, okay. And guess what happened next week when I asked the question, so, what did Jesus get done through us this week? We'd have a time that we call reporting or accounting, which Jesus did with his disciples, mm-hmm. which we don't do in the church. Mm-hmm. In the church, we give a report on two things. Do you know what they are? How many people came to the meeting? We count 322 came, mm-hmm. and how much money was given.
Yeah.
But what counts is what lasts forever. We don't give a report on how we treated our wives. And that's sad. We don't care. We don't really care enough to give a report of what we did with our kids. But that's what matters. See? Makes sense? So, then having given people a chance to make specific commitments, what mm-hmm. they think the Lord wants them to do that week, and we pray for each other. And that's what we pray about. We finish our meeting praying for us as we're seeking first the kingdom. Now, in this meeting today, we didn't take time to talk about one person's headache or financial trouble. We talked about Jesus, who he is, what he did, what he's saying, what he wants to do through us this week. And then we prayed for that to happen. But he said if we'll seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these other things will be taken care of. So we get the best of both worlds. We seek first his kingdom, and he says, I'll take care of your food, I'll take care of your money, I'll take care of your time, I'll take care of the things. And I'm not saying we don't pray about those things, but we don't have very much time together. We have to really use the time we have well. So, you just got a 6-hour seminar, real quick. In fact, this is stuff I just wrote the last 8 weeks. I just wrote a book about all this stuff we've been talking about this morning. Okay? And it's way too long. I've got to get it cut down. Well, fabulous to be with you. Welcome.
Hi, Dick.
Good morning. Glad you could come. So we've got Wei and Wing. If you keep wearing your name tag, I'll remember.
I'll try to remember that.
Jesus, I thank you for this little brief time to meet with you. Thank you that you spoke to us about loving us by wanting what is best for us. And we got to think about that and respond to you. You spoke to us about what you did as people cleaned up floors and people actually were ministered through worship and through other processes. You spoke to us about not loving the world. And you helped us to think a little bit. We didn't get very far in that, but we got somewhere. And we didn't even get to talk about what you want to do through us this week or actually plan. But I will tell you, I choose to love Debbie by listening to her and valuing her. I choose to try to connect with each of my kids. The people I'll be with to listen, to value them, and to respond, even though I don't even know where I'm going to be or who I'll be with. Thank you that you will help all of us this week to seek first your kingdom, to love you some of our heart, hopefully all of our heart. We go from here confident. Our God is an awesome God. You reign. And you want to partner with us. You want us to partner with you to bring about your kingdom on earth. And we're committed to doing that. And wish we could meet next Sunday morning and talk about how it all went. We thank you for this short little time together. And we praise you. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming. You all get it. Where are those boys? Oh, man. Thank you for coming. Great, great. Did Debbie tell you what boys were like last night?
I'll bet she did. She told us about some of your sons.
Oh, boy.
And your
son. Yeah. Oh.
She said only good stuff, so.
That's the only stuff.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much. Love doing this. Thank you for coming. Do you think Jesus could disciple us?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
By His Spirit, His Word, His people.